ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Have you ever tried turning your passion into a career?
I had a coaching client recently who quit her corporate job and opened a yoga studio because that's what she was passionate about. Turns out that she learned she's passionate about teaching and about building community, but not about running the actual studio and all the ins and outs that come with that.
So we're told that when you love what you do, it won't feel like work. But does this really hold up? Let's find out, shall we? Hello, welcome to This Working Life. I'm Lisa Leong, helping to make your work life better. In this episode, we explore the relationship between career and passion. I asked you on LinkedIn what you think of the statement, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And some of your voice memos and comments are included in this program. Thank you so much. Jon Yahimovich is an assistant professor in the Organisational Behaviour Unit at Harvard Business School, and he's an expert on passion at work. Welcome, Jon.
Thanks so much for having me, Lisa.
I'm so excited to speak to you about this topic. One might say I'm quite passionate about it. Now, what led you to research passion, Jon?
Yeah, absolutely. So I came to the US to pursue my PhD. I was originally born and raised in Germany, and I was really passionate to do research on inequality. How do we create a world that's more inclusive, where people who weren't born to fortunate, rich backgrounds can ascend the social hierarchy and make a better life for themselves? But about a year or two into my PhD, I just wasn't feeling that burning passion anymore. It was a really discombobulating experience. I had a really hard time to keep going. I was very frustrated and I was confused because just like all the people out there, I was told that if you do what you love, you'll never work another day in your life. And here I was, and it didn't feel easy and natural anymore. It felt very painful. And so I went living in New York. The benefit is you have a ton of people who are trying to pursue their passion. And I asked everybody that I knew, who's the most passionate person that you know? Can you put me in touch with them? And I ended up talking to over 200 people over a span of 2.5, 3 years, just to get a sense of what is it actually like? Like, what is it that people who are really passionate for their work do? Ended up changing the trajectory of my research. This is now what I study. This is what I have been studying for the last 7.5 years. And it just, I think, has allowed me to understand a lot more about myself. Like, I think that one of the reasons why I struggled when I was studying inequality is that I didn't really get to talk to people anymore. Like, what I ended up caring about is the individuals themselves and helping people make a better life for themselves. When you're studying inequality, what you do for the rest of your days is looking at data, thinking about systems and different ways of inequality working together. And that's just really challenging and difficult when what you care about is really people.
And how would you define passion then in the work context?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of misconceptions around passion. I think one of the ways in which we talk about passion is a noun. I have a passion. This is what we typically think about when we say, oh, this is what I am passionate about. Like, I am passionate about X, Y, or Z. But that's different from the experience that we have. Currently, I am feeling passionate about something, or today, I feel really fired up. And I think part of the challenge that we have in the conversation is that we tend to blend both things together, is that we tend to assume that when you have a passion, you feel it every single day. So in my research, I try to distinguish between the two. On the one hand, there is when you have a passion, it is something that you care very deeply about. It's a part of who you are, and it's something that you're trying to advance. But any given day, when you're feeling really passionate, it's this intense emotional experience. You're feeling a lot, not just positively, right? You're feeling excitement, but you can also feel a little bit ambivalent. You might feel a little anxious because you care so deeply. And at the daily level, when you feel really passionate about something, it makes you want to do stuff. You want to advance that, what it is that you are passionate about. So it's not just feeling something that you really care about, but it's also trying to act on it and trying to do it in the moment.
The German word for passion is Leidenschaft. How is that different from the English word?
So the word Leid in German literally means suffering. And Schaft comes from Eigenschaft, which means ability. So in German, if you're passionate about something, the way that I liberally translate this, it's the ability to endure hardship. I think it tells you a lot about Germans and German culture that this is what it means to be passionate in German. But I also think there's a deep truth in there that we often miss, is that when you care very deeply about something, you're very passionate about it, every single day isn't necessarily going to feel amazing. The day-to-day can feel quite rough and challenging. It might even take more work than work that we don't care as much about. But ultimately, we endure this because we care so deeply, because the end goal that we're hoping to attain is worth it to us.
Renata is a career coach, and she responded to my LinkedIn post. Here she is.
I love what I do deeply, but it's still work. Just yesterday, I caught myself working all Sunday. I wasn't dreading it. I was immersed. I was excited. I was completely in flow. But I also knew that if I kept going like that day after day, I'd soon burn out. So I stopped. I took a break. My instinct was to keep going because I care so much about my clients and their success. Helping people find clarity and landing new roles is incredibly rewarding and meaningful to me. It drives me, but it also demands boundaries, self-awareness, and rest so I can do the best job for them. So yes, passion can be fuel, but it's not effortless. It's powerful emotional work.
Jan, your reflections.
I think this is a very astute reflection of what it actually means to be passionate about something. And there's a couple of things I want to tease apart there. The first thing that she mentions is feeling this urge, like you want to do something and having to do something with that urge. Like you want to try to do something, but you're not really quite sure. Is it a good idea to give in to this urge? Should I actually be doing this? And what are the costs if I continue moving down this path? I also hear the self-awareness, this trying to balance, knowing if I don't stop going, what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day? Because the problem when you're trying to pursue your passion is that you're not just doing it on one day. The goal is to keep on doing this tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And so kind of like an athlete, when you have to figure out how much can I exercise today if I continue wanting to exercise tomorrow and the day after, or if I have a game this weekend and the season is very long and I want to win something, exactly in the same way, then having to curtail yourself and saying, what I'm doing right now, it feels really, really good. And I would love to keep going. And in fact, it feels great. It's hard work, but I would love to keep going, but I can't. I have to stop myself. I have to pace myself because tomorrow is another day. And that's one of the things that I think is so difficult when you're really passionate about something, is having to balance both the urge of really wanting to do something with then also having to push back against that urge and saying, I cannot give in. And I think that really highlights the difference between having a passion, which is, I think, how we often think about it. When you have a passion, that's the, if you love what you do, it's really easy. Versus, I think what Renata is highlighting here, what you have to do is you have to maintain a passion. The metaphor that I like thinking about is one of a beautiful flower. You know, when you have a beautiful flower, it's really great to look at. But we all know it takes a lot of work to look after. You have to water the plant, make sure the plant gets enough sunlight. You have to prune the plant. And so it might look really beautiful, but be hidden underneath all that beauty is all of the work that it requires us to do. And I think we don't pay attention to it nearly often enough.
What are the benefits of maintaining or nourishing your passion for your work?
There's a ton of research out there that shows that on average, people who are more passionate for their work also attain better outcomes at work. They are more satisfied with their work. They are less burned out from their work. They attain better job performance. Some research even shows that people attain higher salary and have better career outcomes over the long run. We know that people who pitch a venture to potential funders with a lot of passion are more likely to get funding from that venture from potential investors. So there are a lot of benefits, but the challenge is that we're also setting expectations in how other people are going to see us, and expectations in what we demand from ourselves, and then delivering on that is really, really difficult. There is actually a lot of research, including work that we've been doing in a paper together with Joy Bredehorst, Kai Kauter, and Iris Morris, where we show that people who are more passionate on any given day are actually more likely to be more burned out tomorrow. So if you're feeling a lot of passion today, what we find happens is that people are more likely to work longer hours. They have a harder time psychologically detaching from their work. That ends up impeding their ability to recover. And so the next day, they're more likely to show up more emotionally exhausted. And that can end up draining their work unless they intervene, unless people say, wait a minute, if I'm feeling really passionate, I know I'm feeling that urge, but what I should be doing is slow down.
And in terms of that skill, does your research show what helps when passion leads to burnout or days when you're more likely to say yes to too many things?
There's something that I'm feeling compelled to do. Is it really a good idea for me to be doing this right now? Or should I perhaps show up differently? Is this something I can push back against or not? One of the challenges, unfortunately, is that from an interpersonal perspective, other people aren't necessarily helping us either. I've done a lot of research showing that people who come across as being more passionate are actually more likely to get more work assignments from others because people seem more capable in that moment. So when I'm being more passionate, it can be good. Like I come across as more capable in that moment. That's the positive way to spin the story. But on the other side, because I'm being perceived as more passionate, other people are also more likely to think, wait a minute, Jan is more passionate. He'll be happy to do this additional task. He'll love doing this additional task. Let me give this additional task to him. So other people can exacerbate some of the challenges that we have and can actually make it a lot more difficult for us to maintain our passion over the long run.
Jan, can passion be developed?
There's a misconception, I think, that passion is something that we find, that there's going to be this one day, this one aha moment that's going to strike us and it's going to say, here it is. Those eureka moments happen. I'm not going to deny that they don't happen. But far more common is the story of passion as being something that you explore. I kind of like to think about it like a journey. Like it really takes time to discover and to develop rather than something that just one day you come across. I think part of the challenge is that in retrospect, when we tell the story of how we found our passion, we like telling a very linear path. We like saying, well, this moment in my childhood led to this moment in my adolescence, led to this moment in university, and then my first job, and here's the story. Because we love telling these super linear stories, they give us a sense of comfort. They make us feel good. When in reality, when you keep track of the ways in which people actually end up developing their passions, those paths are not very linear. People go forwards and backwards and up and down. It's a random hodgepodge of experiences that ultimately allows us to develop a better understanding of who we are, a deeper understanding of what it is that we care about, a better understanding of what is possible in the world. And then even the random opportunities that we come across, the people that we meet, the random job posting that someone saw one day, or an interaction that leads us thinking about something in a completely different way. I think it's we're not making people a service by saying passion is something that you need to find. The implication being, if you don't have the eureka moment, it can be passion, when in reality, it's fine if it's something that you continue developing slowly, slowly, slowly over time until you start looking back and saying, wow, like it really feels like I've developed something and I've developed an understanding that this is something that I really care about.
And it fluctuates, doesn't it? I mean, passion is not fixed.
Absolutely. There can be times in my life when I feel more passionate about something. There can be times in my life when I feel less passionate about something. I can feel very, very passionately about a particular topic or about a particular activity, and it can mean a lot to me. But in a moment, it's possible that I just have a hard time actually experiencing that within me because I'm feeling really burnt out, because I'm working really long hours, because I have a newborn child at home that requires a lot of my time and attention. It's okay if there's this disconnect. I think we just need to be mindful of the fact that that exists and how we then strive toward reconciling these two.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong, and my guest is Jan Jachimovic, an assistant professor at Harvard Business School, and we're learning about passion at work. A new report from recruitment agency Randstad shows that staying employable is the biggest priority for workers in this time of global uncertainty, and that could mean fewer young people are actually following their passion. So let's hear from one of them.
Hey guys, my name is Jin. My passion has always been coding and statistics. Growing up, I really enjoyed using data and coding to uncover insights, and I originally dreamed of working in data analytics for businesses to make smarter decisions. But as I was applying during my penultimate year, I found the field to be extremely competitive, especially for an entry-level role. There just wasn't many roles available, and job security was my primary concern, so I decided to pivot to my secondary degree of accounting. Right now, I'm pursuing a career in professional auditing, which still lets me work with data in some sense, and I've recently secured a graduate position for an audit firm.
Any advice for Jin?
Part of what Jin is going through is a normal journey. It sounds to me like he's still struggling with a lot of the pressures that we give to young people, where we tell them, if you do what you love, you never work another day in your life, implying that the only way to do good work, in the words of Steve Jobs, is to do what you love, right? Like, that's what he went out there and said in the Stanford commencement address in 2005. I think that's not a helpful expectation for every single person, every single day of the year. There are different times in our lives and in our careers where that's more helpful and different times where that's less helpful. So perhaps to Jin, I would say, look, it sounds to me like work is satisfying a lot of things that you care about. It sounds like you're growing, you're learning, you're developing. As long as you feel like you're hitting goals that you're comfortable with, that's great. And perhaps there's an opportunity even within an accounting degree to explore data science and seeing whether you can bring that in. And if you continue doing that and you realize, you know what, this just isn't what I want and I want to try to do more, maybe there are ways in which you can dip your toes into data science in the future to try to make the jump later on.
And what leads someone to want to give up on pursuing their passion?
We often think of giving up on a passion as a failure. And I just think that's an unhelpful framing. I think sometimes a passion can have run its course. For most of us in professional careers, we don't really think all that much about giving up on a passion as like something that you have to do. We often highlight the individual choice in doing that. And I think that's what leads people to ultimately be relatively harsh in the judgments that we make of people who give up on a passion. But a research that I did together with Zach Barry at USC and Brian Lucas at Cornell, we found that actually people are much more comfortable with people giving up on a passion, because observers realize that life is a journey and that giving up on one passion gives you the time and space to explore another. I ended up writing a case study about a concert flutist called Elizabeth Rowe, who aged 50. She was the leading flutist of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, which is one of the big six orchestras in Boston. It's a huge job. If you're a musician, you're at the top of your game. The New York Times called her a world-leading flutist. She played all the big concerts, all the big festivals. And at one point, late in her 40s, she asked herself, is this all that I want to do with the rest of my life? Is there something else that I would want to do? And if I were to give up, what would I be doing? And then she started thinking about all the different things that she might want to do. And it took her a couple of years to end up giving up playing the flute, but she quit her job. She quit her job at the Boston Symphony Orchestra. She is now a developmental coach. So she helps provide leadership training in one-on-one sessions, because she realized that one of the skills that she developed over 40 plus years in the music industry is knowing how to perform under pressure in front of a lot of people, which she did every single day playing for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And that she's actually developed a deep skill set for how to do that, which is a struggle that a lot of leaders face.
Is there something helpful that she did to help herself deal with that feeling of giving up her passion?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is something that we can all do more often. She experimented. Like, she still had her job at the Boston Symphony Orchestra, but outside of that, in the free time that she had, she started coaching people. She initially just posted on a Facebook group for young musicians, and she said, look, you know, I have extra time. The Boston Symphony Orchestra isn't playing. I'm happy to do coaching for young musicians. I understand many of the challenges that you all have gone through, and I'm happy to do that. And so she did small group sessions in that, and she started thinking, huh, that's really interesting. Do the people I have to coach have to be musicians?
Jan, I put up this quote on LinkedIn and I did ask people to comment on it. If you do what you love, you will never work a day in your life. Mary writes, I have to admit this phrase does not ring true. It ignores reality. Many things people love aren't monetizable, scalable, or sustainable careers. Passion doesn't pay rent, especially in oversaturated markets where doing what you love becomes a grind to stay ahead. Then there's the privilege factor. Access, resources, freedom to choose aren't distributed equally. For most, work remains work, even if they care deeply about it. Can you comment on this, Jan?
I couldn't agree more. This person should write a book. No, I mean it. Like I think there's a couple of things I want to unpack here. I think one of the things is the difficulty of pursuing a passion as work, because we start when we start bringing passion into the work context, passion no longer has to fulfill things that are important to us, but it also has to fulfill other needs that we have, like salary, job security, stability, advancement opportunities, connection with other people. Like, there's a lot of things that we want out of our work that goes beyond personal fulfillment. And bringing in that logic to a passion can be really challenging. The reality is that for many people, what they're passionate about isn't necessarily something that society values with a similarly high monetarily effort. The challenge is also that once we enter into the work logic, we open ourselves up to a lot of frustration, because now when I'm pursuing my passion, it's not something that I only choose to do, but it's something that I need to or have to do in order to keep going. And there will be parts of that job, even if that job is something that I deeply care about, that I do not like, or that I will have difficulty with, or that will present me with moral quandaries that I cannot opt out of because it's now my responsibility to deal with those things. And then finally, the point on privilege. I could not agree more. And I will go a step further. There's a privilege even to developing what it is that you're passionate about. If you have grown up with, or you've been more fortunate to have grown up with richer parents or in a richer neighborhood and a richer environment, you will have been more likely to have made a broader range of experiences, and you will have had more opportunities to discover what it is that you care about, so that by the time that you're ready to enter the workforce, you will have had a better understanding of what it is that you care about and how you might go out to pursue it. Versus if you haven't had those opportunities, it will be a lot more difficult for you to have had the time or the opportunities to discover what it is that you're passionate about and to figure out how to bring those two together.
Jan, I want to go back to the statement I made at the start. We're told that when you love what you do, it won't feel like work. Does it hold up, Jan?
I'm going to go the reverse. And I'm going to say, if you love what you do, it's going to be more difficult than if you care less about your work. And I think for the reasons being that if I care more, if I'm feeling more passionate for my work, every setback is going to sting more. I think we've got it completely wrong. I think we need to flip it around, and I need to say, look, if you do what you love, it can feel really magical. It can feel really great. And it can also be a lot of work.
In Try This, we give tips and advice you can try to make your work life better. Jan, I'm going to play you that audio we heard at the beginning of the show. Here's Melissa.
I had a coaching client recently who quit her corporate job and opened a yoga studio because that's what she was passionate about. Turns out that she learned she's passionate about teaching and about building community, but not about running the actual studio and all the ins and outs that come with that, including managing a team of yoga instructors. Yeah, I think passion is a clue, but it's not necessarily the whole picture.
I think we're often so locked in when we're passionate about what we're doing that we have to go all in, that this is the only thing that we will ever do. Not really seeing the big picture that people often pursue multiple passions over the course of their career. And so I would love for all of us to be more open to experimenting, perhaps volunteering or speaking to somebody. If you're interested in running a yoga studio, great. Talk to people who run a yoga studio. Get a sense of what that's like. Does it still sound amazing? Perfect. Could you maybe shadow them for a day or two at work to see what that's like? Could you maybe work there in whatever capacity to develop an understanding of whether this is something that you want to be doing? Maybe take a couple of classes at a yoga studio to see whether you really understand how all the little things need to be in place for you to be able to manage it. But I think we need to be much more open to dipping our toes and understanding there's a lot more nuance and gradients to going all in or not doing it at all. And instead, there could be a lot of different ways that we can pursue multiple passions over the course of our career.
Thanks so much, Jan.
Thank you, Lisa, for having me.
Jan Yahimovic is an assistant professor in the Organisational Behaviour Unit at the Harvard Business School. Thanks for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. If you haven't already, search for This Working Life on the ABC Listen app and tap the heart to follow all of our stories. This episode was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim James. We're on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. Until next time, love your work, but with boundaries.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.